Okay, namaste, welcome. Today we start month 10 of the Yoga of Entrepreneurship Satsang, where we will be exploring how to and what it feels like to turn discipline into ritual. So there is a saying or a maxim in the Upanishads. Remember, the Upanishads is one of the written texts, sacred Vedic texts that yoga is derived from. And that saying is, your freedom lies in your discipline. It's a great irony, I think, and yoga is wonderful because it is full of these great ironies. And, you know, my teacher, Swami Jayadevi, had been saying this to us, for students, for years. It's, in your discipline lies your freedom. In your discipline lies your freedom. Not with a stick, right? But just, she would repeat this. Like, I know you don't do it, but just remember what you're losing out on. And so, because it's ironic and because we can have these triggers that happen when you think about discipline, by discipline I just mean your ability to commit to a routine, to say, you know what, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to do it, and I might feel different every single day, and I might have a great meditation and I might have a lousy one, but I'm going to show up and I'm going to do it. That's simply what I mean by discipline. And I think that in my experience, the way that we approach, you know, what we can call discipline or habits or routine matters. Okay, we don't want it to be harsh or rigid, and we certainly don't want it to be dry. Like, we don't want to get so much into our routine that it becomes so stale and dry that it's not alive anymore. That our, you know, spiritual practice or our business practices or our work isn't infused with any vitality anymore. So in looking at that, we want to commit, right? We want engagement, and we want reverence. We want a level of reverence, and it's here where turning discipline into ritual happens. It's at that point of awareness, at that point of reverence, at that point of infusing it with something more than the technicality of what we're doing, okay? The actual technical, yes, I'm sitting down on my yoga mat and I'm going to breathe for 15 minutes or I'm going to breathe for 2 minutes, more than the technicality of that, infusing it with more than the, I'm going to move my leg back into this, you know, lunge. Okay, I can do that movement. But if I set an intention, how does that change? Or an awareness of what that movement feels like through space, my body placement, what does that do? How does it change my experience and my connection to that, kind of what I'm calling the technicality, to the technical, you know, actually grounded, this is what I'm doing. So what I'm asking, and it's a leap, is how do we bring that into our work? How do we take, you know, reviewing our financial reports or even having a plan for taking care of our finances in our business and what that requires of us? How do we infuse that, okay, with some level of connection to our own wisdom, connection to our own knowing of ourselves as something more than simply flesh and bone, and knowing our work as something bigger than just that piece of paper or that task to accomplish. So for me, this idea, this place of turning discipline into ritual is where the idea that there's any difference at all, any separation at all between your feeling or your connection to the divine and your work in the world dissolves. So this is where it all comes together, where that separation is integrated. This is the point of everyday integration, okay, at which you infuse the running of your business with your sense of higher purpose. And it's more than, yes, I know I have a higher purpose, and I know I'm on task with that. It's more than I do my meditation every morning and that's the way I fuel my spiritual being. It's literally working toward the integration of being different in your work every day, of being able to infuse the tasks of your work and your business with the same attention and reverence and connection to your own source, to your own higher self, as you do on a meditation cushion. And that's a lot. All this is, you know, just for full disclosure, at the time we're recording this, this is my edge. You know, and I heard every one of you in this first iteration of the Yoga of Entrepreneurship express in the beginning that feeling of, gosh, why do I disconnect when it comes to my business? You know, I'm so spiritually connected in other aspects of my life, maybe in every other aspect of my life. But the grind, the goals, the whatever, the busyness takes me out. So I said, you know, this is my edge too. And so it started, talk about long-term edges. This started for me, you know, this idea, this exploration started in 2011. And started on my yoga mat in my physical yoga practice. The practice, the lineage I'm in, Kalinatha yoga, and most of the physical practice that I do now is Kalinatha yoga. And in this yoga, everything is a puja. Every single thing, every breath, every movement is a puja. And a puja, what a puja is a moving prayer. The idea that by taking a breath, by making a movement, you're actually worshiping, you're actually honoring that, the universe, you're actually honoring the aspects of the divine in yourself and without, out of yourself. And so when you take on that idea or you take on that practice of how do I create a puja out of this? How do I create a moving prayer out of a physical act or out of anything that I do? You start to gain a lot of awareness about yourself, and it asks you to pay attention to each movement, to pay attention to feel into the subtle energies of each movement. So I started with this. I started with this physical practice of how do I feel the subtle energies? How do I move from just doing a physical yoga practice, which makes me feel great anyway, right? Realigns me anyway, and actually move it into the next phase of making it a prayer, making it a conscious spiritual practice as opposed to kind of a passive, that's the de facto result. And so I invite you to start there. If you don't do anything else this month, I invite you to use the physical practice. I'll be posting a physical practice that Allison and I filmed yesterday. And I invite you to move this level of intention into that physical practice. And the way I invite you to do that is when you breathe in a silent om, and when you breathe out a silent om. So as you know, om is the sound and vibration of consciousness. So it's going to combine the breath, the movement, and your thoughts in the direction of that integration. So I've been practicing the silent om in my physical practices, as I said, since 2011. And what ends up happening is it becomes easier to then start to move that out, take that idea and that practice of that level of intention spiritual awareness and engagement, move that out into the other practices, in your life and in your business. So I invite you to start there, if it all seems like too much or if you just want to try one thing at a time. So that's fine and good, but how do we bring this ritualization, if you will, into our work? We've talked about practices. Last month, I invited you to create a set of up to six practices for six different areas in taking care of yourself and your business. So we have these practices, and now we have a choice. We can do them mechanically. We can do them with kind of our own stick of discipline and use that against ourselves. Or we can ask the question of, well, wait a minute, how do I not only use them to take care of myself and to make a commitment to myself and my work and my business, but what if I use them as a puja? What is that? That is taking it to a whole different place. How do we do that? In this space of business, that can feel very, very separate, very material, and very grounded and technical and goal-oriented. So I have a few suggestions. One is simple centering. This is almost analogous to you doing your own spiritual practice in the morning or in the evening, but it is really kind of immediately before you head into your work, whether that be working, meeting with a client, whether that be jumping on email, talking with a team member, that you have a practice for yourself of both centering and detachment. So I'll give you an example. Every time I do anything every time I talk to you, every time I get on a call to give a talk, every time I talk to one of my legal clients, every time I open my email, I go into the space that's called the Chittakosh. It's a space above your head that is detachment. Detachment, another way to define it, is unconditional love. And it's a practice that I've been taught and that I taught you. It's the breath of detachment that I taught you in the video, the bonus video. So I do that practice for myself before I engage in any client work. And the reason for that is to help me separate from what's going on with my clients. It helps me be more empty, helps me be more centered so that I'm not bringing my own stuff into what's happening with the people that I work with. So a very simple three-breath practice, you can use that before you begin work. I've found it tremendously, tremendously helpful. Another practice that you could do, and this is a practice that brings you in back to yourself and your center throughout the day, is you can do a one-minute breath practice. So I will give you the link again, but I have a set. There's four up there now, I think, set of four different one-minute breath practices. You can do that at any time during your day. You can do it silently. Nobody even has to know that you're doing it. You know, there have been different times in my business where I've set a timer for various things. Get up from my desk, you know, have a snack. And one of the times I use that methodology for, you know, do a one-minute breath, take a minute, pay attention. So it'll bring you right back to your body. It'll bring you right back into connection with yourself. And it'll give you some feedback about exactly how wound up or how stressed or how in the moment or out of the moment you've been previously. Not to criticize or judge yourself, but just as a point of awareness. So that's one way to start deliberately kind of bringing practices into your everyday workday. The next three suggestions are more, I guess they're more attitudinal. They're more intent. They're more about your intention than anything else. And that is, you know, asking yourself to shift, how you can shift into one of three different intentions around something. How can you honor, you know, what it is that you're doing in your business, or honor your work? Can you come to a place of honoring? How can you infuse the practice or the task with reverence for yourself, reverence for your work, reverence for your path, reverence for the path that your clients are on? Anything, any of that will work. And the third is gratitude. How can you bring an intention or an emotion of gratitude? How can you be grateful for the task that you're doing, or the things surrounding it, or the client that you're working with? So a sense of honoring, a sense of reverence, a sense of gratitude. If you ask yourself that question, you may be surprised at what the answer is and how the way you are in carrying out the practice or carrying out the task changes. Two more. One is, again, simply a question of asking yourself, am I present? There's some multiple ways to do this. I mean, one is from your mind, am I present? Oh my God, I am or I'm not. The other is through the 1 minute breath. That'll bring you back to being present. And the third is actually something that Barry Tesler Linden talks about and teaches a lot in the context of money and money practices, and that's the body check-in. And so I'm going to ask her. She'll be with us in July, and I'm going to ask her to go through that with you because our bodies tell us a lot about where we were at with something. And if you're anything like me, you would like to ignore that until the body starts screaming at you. So you don't need to let it scream. If you give yourself, even you can use your, you know, your notification system on your calendar or on your alarm to do this the same way you can with a breath practice, to say, you know what, 3 times a day, I'm going to check in with myself about how present I am. I'm going to check in with how my body feels, and I'm going to make an adjustment to how I'm breathing or how I'm sitting, or I'm going to get up and walk around, whatever that is, and check in with myself about what's going on. So those are my offered practices. These are the things that I try and use on a regular basis. And as I said, in complete candor, this is still my edge. It's hard. It's a huge ask of yourself to move to a place where you're saying, I'm going to approach and be with my business and my work and my money and my clients and everyone else in my life, right? We haven't even talked about personal life. From a place of puja, from a place of being connected deeply. It's, you know, it's much easier and much more our habit to detach, to close off, or to go into the mind fixing something. So this is a huge lifelong, you know, business-long practice. So please do not feel like you have to get this in the next 30 days. So with that, I would love to see if anyone has any questions or any comments or any scenarios that you would like to bring up and that we can talk about or work through, because these are the, again, these are the kinds of things that can say everything you want to. You can have every intention in the world or every awareness or every aha right this moment, but it works in the moment. It's the moment of these things happening where, or the actual reality of what's going on, that's where the work happens. You know, that's where the change happens. That's where the integration happens. So I'd love to help you with that in as real time as I can. So if you have a comment or question or something that goes on for you that you'd like to share and work with, go ahead and press star 6. And that should open up your line. And if it does not, in a few minutes, I will just open up the whole line.
Hey, Rebecca, it's Julie.
Hey, Julie.
So I wanted to share something that I have done along these lines that has been really effective for me. My edge is being able to do it consistently because that's where things go terribly awry for me. But I have, because I can tend to fall into this kind of do more, go faster. Mm-hmm. If I use checking in with myself as a transition between tasks,
mm-hmm.
it helps me single task, mm-hmm. and it helps me kind of like recalibrate between tasks. But for me personally, the key is that I have to do this in writing. I have a really hard time remembering to do it in the transitions if I'm just trying to do it in the transitions. But if I, you know, in my journal or in, you know, in 750 words or whatever, if I'm saying, okay, the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to check email. So let me do the breath of detachment or, you know, clear my energy out first and go do that thing. And then I come back like, okay, so I did that. Okay, now how am I? What do I need? Okay, great, now I'm better. What's my next task? That has been a way to help all of the work feel more intentional.
Yeah, that's brilliant. So tell me more about that. Tell me how that, so you stop between as a transition between tasks and you take a mm-hmm. moment and you write during that moment. Am I understanding correctly?
Yeah, I'll write and I'll be like, okay, so I just finished email. Let me, you know, how was that? What am I noticing in my body? Oh, I'm really tense. I really need to clear out energy from all that email. Okay, so clear out energy. Okay, I did that. Now how do I feel? Oh, it would really be helpful if I did, you know, 5 minutes of Shavasana. Okay, let's go do 5 minutes of Shavasana. So it's not just like a 30-second transition. It,
mm-hmm.
it can be, but sometimes it's like, okay, it took me 15 or 20 minutes to get back to a really good present place, but then I'm able to bring that to the next thing I'm doing.
Right. And I think that that is so important. Let's pause on that a moment. Is that different? Noticing the difference between when you don't do it and when you do it, right? What are the benefits of doing it? Because I think that's the other thing that gets us out of this idea or this feeling that discipline, quote, or practices or routine is something harsh or something that's imposed upon us. Because we can really notice the difference in ourselves. Well, we crave the difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't you want to be, present and focused and, you know, able to do what it is that the next thing is for you to do and be fully available and attentive? Yes, of course. So I love that. Thank you so much for sharing.
Sure.
Share more. Yeah. Anyone else?
Hi, Rebecca. This is Meredith.
Hi, Meredith.
I'm still digesting, but I actually love what you say about routine as something harsh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a daily practice, but I must admit recently I have not included a lot of the meditations. And it's interesting, what I find is when it's being very written out in terms of the breath, the meditation, it's easier to remember it than when it's kind of more open for me to use it. So it's kind of interesting to notice that I actually need
when you feel like it's when you feel like it's, forgive the word, but prescribed to you or for you, where you're like, hey, we're going to work on, this is the practice this month, we're going to do this. What I'm hearing is you feel like you're going, okay, I'm going to do this.
It's also remembering it, because I'm not intimate with it. So, you know, I find on the months when it's more open, I kind of don't remember what breaths are out there, and so I don't go that extra step and go hunting for them. It's kind of like I'm not familiar, which is
okay,
kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously I could correct that, right? I could, I'm talking to myself now.
You could put them all in one place, right? Every meditation recording could be all in one place.
I have tried to do that, but I have not perfected it. So I think I need to.
You could say, it doesn't matter which one I do today. I'm just going to do this one.
Yeah. But I think that's a good thing for me to see. I mean, I use the tools that I use because they're right there. And I love the meditations. So.
And that's okay.
I need to compile a directory of breaths.
It's okay. But I think that this is a great point, because it's okay, Meredith, that you use what's right in front of you and that you need to use what's right in front of you. That's just something you've just learned about yourself. So you don't need, what I'm inviting you to do is not change that about yourself, but make that easier for yourself. Like, say, you know what? This is the way I am. I know this is I already have a habit and this is it. I'm going to use that. And so I'm going to take a little bit of time, and it might feel like a pain up front, but I'm going to take a little bit of time to organize myself so that I can actually do it the way that I do it. Do it the way I actually do it. Like, don't fight it against yourself, you know? So I think it's great that you brought that up, because so often we think, and, oh, I've got a practice, or I need to have a routine, or I need to have discipline. We think we have to change ourselves in order to do our practice right. And part of what I'm suggesting is use it. Use the way you are. Use the way that you approach your practice. But just go the extra step and support yourself in that.
Right, yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's a good point, to just in noticing that, to just make it easier.
Yeah, because I'm talking over you. I didn't mean to do that.
No. I was just saying that it kind of goes back to that simplicity. What helps to make it simple is to, put it all there.
Yeah.
And I mean, I could apply that to everywhere in my business. And I have done work on that. But I can see that there's another level that I could go to that would be actually even more supportive. So, cool. Thank you.
Yeah, I love that. And I love it that you see it across, you know, multiple areas or multiple. We fight against ourselves in one area of our life. We often do exactly the same thing somewhere else, right? Or all the way across. So, and we do, and then we blame ourselves, right? Because we're not doing it. So it becomes this like loop of not doing it, and then blaming ourselves for not doing it, and saying, "Oh, I should be this or I should be that." And it's like, it's actually much simpler than admitting this is the way you are. Like, this is the way it works for you. And so what do you need to do to do it the way that works for you. Right. I mean, it's a really, really powerful acknowledgement or and question, right? To say, you know what? I know the way I do it, and I'm going to stop fighting myself, stop trying to make myself be different, and instead, I'm just going to honor that and take the extra step to see how it goes when I just do it that way, the way that's natural for me.
Right, right. Definitely.
Cool. So, and it relates, yes, it relates back to our simplicity question that we were talking about a few weeks ago, too. Because you're now seeing a nugget, right, of a thread of simplicity that goes through everything. So, great.
Right, right, yeah. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Okay. Okay, so go ahead.
It's Anne. I don't really have a whole lot to add except to say that I definitely understand where Meredith is coming from, and I think it's that organization that is just so – I'm just laughing listening to the whole thing. Like, I don't even have my daily practice anymore, you know. It's like the life started happening in an accelerated pace, you know, sometime early spring or late winter, and I've just lost it. And and now well, you know, you and I talked a little bit about this one-on-one last week about trying to capitalize on a vacation and coming back. And, you know, last week was great. This week, you know, not so much. You know, it's like, here I go again. And I do appreciate you're not implying necessarily that if you don't do the daily practice, you can't do these other things. Like that at least I took that.
Yeah,
away.
I'm actually, yeah, you know, good. But again, yeah, bringing up a great point, and that is you can do any of these at any time. And some days, you know, I was thinking while Julie and I were talking that what she was talking about was such a great and supportive system, right, for when we can do that. If we can ritualize that, we can, and it's wonderful. And then there are times when that is not, even though that may be our beautiful routine, that is not what is actually happening or what is actually being demanded of us. Right? And so what's so great about having kind of a stockpile, if you will, or toolbox of practices is you get to the point where you more often than not, and again, I want to iterate, it's not all the time. Like, how many times do I have to repeat during this call this month that this is my edge? It's not all the time. But you get to a point where more often than not, you can pull one of the tools out right then in the moment and say, you know what, I don't have time for whatever, the 20-minute yoga practice and a 20-minute meditation. Like, I just, that's not what's happening right now. I don't feel, whether or not it's true that I have time or not, I don't feel like I do. So what else? What can I do right now? What do I need right now? Do I need to take 3 breaths? Do I need to do 1 minute of breath? Do I need to take one single big breath and just feel into my body and let it go? You know, I mean, it's as simple as that. It can be as simple
right
as
now,
that.
Right now, I feel like I'm in that place where I really need to check myself when I think I don't have time.
Yeah.
You know, and so when do that's my edge, you know, it's that why don't I have time? Because I'm satisfying somebody else's urgency, you know? Or is this my own urgency? And how did I create that urgency? So I think that there's this balance that I'm constantly striving for, that, you know, pushing myself to have the rituals and to respect that boundary, and yet to give myself a little bit of grace when it doesn't work out, and not to let, to get completely derailed, like I feel right now, from having any kind of practice, because I can't, because I didn't keep it up for, you know, reasons a couple weeks ago. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's the transition back. It's just one of those transitions. It's just like the transition from being on vacation to being at work, or, you know, being in a holiday season versus being in a non-holiday season. It's exactly the same. Things are going to get thrown off. You're not going to feel the same. You know, you're going to feel like you have different priorities. It's
always going to be there. There's always,
it's always going to be like that. There's always going to be shifting, changing priorities, different people who are asking different things that you won't be able to show up for. It's always going to be that way. So it's kind of just a matter of, you know, okay, how do I treat this transition? I know it happened. I know where I was. And I'm feeling like now I want, or I need to, or it's best for me to get back to here. So I invite you to play with that. And one of the things that I found to be actually the most helpful, and this is why I love yoga as opposed to other approaches, other mindset approaches, or other spiritual principle approaches, and it's because there's something you can do because you do it and then you observe yourself while you're doing it, as opposed to getting into the mind and trying to say, now why do I want to do this, and do I really have time, and why do I not have time, and gosh, I'm really not prioritizing myself, or whatever conclusion your mind comes to when you go through that, those gymnastics. I invite you to just try doing it. So say, okay, you know, whenever you pick a time and say, I'm going to try what it feels like to give myself 5 minutes, you know, tomorrow morning or tonight or this afternoon between clients or whatever it is, I'm going to see what that feels like to me. And I'm going to just be with everything that comes up. Because it is, what's going to come up in that moment is the, oh my gosh, I should be doing this, or I should be doing that, or I should be doing whatever, and you're just going to, for whatever time, frame, 5 minutes, you're just going to let that happen. And you're going to keep doing whatever, whether it's your yoga practice, or your breath, or your mantra, or your walk in nature, whatever it is that you choose to do for that 5 minutes, you're just going to keep doing it, and you're going to watch yourself. And what's going to end up happening, I suspect, is what you're going to start gathering information about what's true and what's not true about your time. So you're going to find out probably that 5 minutes, that you had that 5 minutes. And then you're going to say, well, gosh, if I had 5 minutes, I wonder if I have 10 minutes. And you might try a 10-minute practice someday. So what ends up happening for me is, like, sitting down and doing it actually tests what my mind is telling me about how much time I have for things and how much I don't. In some ways it takes a lot of bravery to do that, to say, you know what, I don't believe you, mind, and so I'm going to test it out. But you don't have to do it for a long period of time to start out, you know, 2-5 minutes. Just give yourself that and see what happens. And I'll remind you, too, of something. You know, it's been attributed to, this statement has been attributed to Gandhi. It's been attributed to a couple different, I can't remember the other two, but couple of different, you know, seekers and deep spiritual and social leaders. And that is, you know, I meditate an hour a day, and when I have an unbelievable amount to do, I meditate 2 hours a day.
Right.
So it kind of flips it on its head. It's like, that's what we do, but it tells you what we do ourselves, right? When we need it the most is when we do it the least.
Mm-hmm.
But as I shared in months past, you know, we're also building up a well, right, through our practices during the times when we feel like we have the time and we are in the groove of a routine or set of rituals. We are kind of putting the money in the bank so that we're building a well of resourcefulness and resilience, so that during the times when we feel like, oh my God, I can't even remember to take one breath, the well swells up and is like, oh, I do have one breath, okay, and it carries us through. So it's all building on itself. There was a moment in March around my birthday, a lot was going on. I had put a lot on my plate business-wise, and we were putting down a new floor. There was all this stuff happening. And I just kept resisting the stuff that my husband wanted to do in the house, right? I wasn't really resisting it, but I kind of was resisting it, like, on the surface. And it was because I was like, I'm going to be so run over. Like, I can't do this much. I'm exhausted, all this stuff. And then there was this moment where all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, I don't know where that came from. Like, I don't know where this centeredness and this resilience and this energy, this actual physical energy, not like I'm on caffeine kind of level of energy, but like just the energy to be able to do what was all going on. I have no idea where that came from. No idea. And I thought, oh my God, this is why I've been doing all these years of yoga. All of a sudden, it was like, wow, I really lied to myself about my capacity. I really wanted to keep myself doing less to be safe physically, right? And it was like, I didn't even need to anymore. It was crazy. So that's just an example of the fact that all of this works together. So all of it is true. There are times when everything lines up and we both believe and actually have, you know, the time to really give ourselves space and practice and connection. And there are times when there's a lot going on and we're pulled, but they work together.
Yeah.
Okay. So anything else? No, not now. Okay, so practices this month, we're going to do the same meditation practice that we did last month, right? With breathing into the lower chakras and following our own energy, our own wisdom into where we want to go, where our kundalini, our own energy is going, what it's teaching us. We're going to do the same practice, and I am sending out to you, we're going to ritualize it a little bit. I have some anointing oils, so we're going to ritualize it a little bit with that. So the anointing oils are getting mailed out. So I'll give it a day or two to get to you. And then I can do a recording about doing that. It's very simple. We're just going to anoint the chakra at which it feels like your energy is flowing. But just little things like that can, you know, ritualize things. Making things beautiful can ritualize things. So I just invite you to do that. And then we will, again, you'll have a yoga practice, and I invite you to bring your awareness really deeply into each movement and each breath of your yoga practice through chanting a silent om on the in-breath and a silent om on the out-breath. So I know that, again, this is one of the months that may seem less prescribed, but it's okay. I want you to move into a place of knowing and observing what it is you need and taking the steps to give that to yourself. So that's it. Let's just sit up straight a moment and we'll just take three breaths together. Inhaling and exhaling. And breathing in again. And releasing the breath. Inhaling to a silent om. And exhaling. And then turning the palms up, drawing your attention to the palms of the hands. With great intention, feeling the energy between the palms of the hands, drawing the palms together on an inhale with your silent om and exhaling your silent om. Namaste.